Hello and welcome to Joe Talks Comics. This is the podcast where I talk to friends about the comics we've been reading and enjoying lately, plus occasional solo episodes and character interviews. This week we've got a fun one lined up where I talked with SuperDude98 from the Naked Comic Geeks community about JLA Avengers, the legendary crossover event from the early 2000s, of course published by Marvel and DC, written by Kurt Busiek and drawn by George Perez, sort of four oversized issues, and it was something that I'm glad I got to talk about. I'm very grateful that I managed to get a copy of the Hero Initiative trade paperback back in 2021, which I mentioned at the start here. So I know it's very difficult to get a hold of, but if you somehow can manage to get a copy or ever get the chance to check it out, I would definitely recommend it. But yeah, again, I appreciate that it's quite a bit difficult to get a hold of. So yeah, as always, I hope you enjoy the episode and I'll see you on the other side. So, SuperDude98, the podcast, it's good to have you here.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so do you want to introduce yourself? Have you got anything to say? I know you're from the League of Comic Geeks.
I've been well, it's not it's I've been I'm relatively new, I'd say, still to League of Comic Book Geeks. I've been writing on there since last October. I've got a few reviews written on there, like a mix of recent stuff and older stuff, and just whatever I kind of feel like writing about. I got a lot of Superboy stuff on there because I bought it, like, a couple months ago. I bought a collection of Superboy stories, and I just decided to read and review everyone, like, one every day. So a lot of my reviews now are Superboy stories, but I have a few other reviews on there. I've also been on a podcast before, so
Oh, nice.
I was recently on the newly started podcast, DMV Comic Book Nerds, which you can find on League of Comic Geeks. That's hosted by a guy named Freddie. It's new, and we've only done well we've only have one episode out, so he only has one episode out so far that I was in. It's his podcast. I was just a guest,
Right,
but
yeah.
we did one episode about Superman Space Age number one. And last night, actually, we recorded one talking about issue number two, and then in the near future, we're going to do number three, and those should be out, before too terribly long. But yeah, that's kind of all I have to say. Just a few reviews on Comic Geeks and that podcast I've been on.
Nice, yeah, that's better. I need to read Superman Space Age.
Oh
I've
yeah,
heard lots of good
it's great.
things.
I recommend it.
So, yeah, before we get into the book we're talking about today, JLA Avengers, do you want to, I mean, I'm curious, when I have a new guest on, I'm always curious to find out how they got into comics in the first place.
I started reading. So my sort of history with comics kind of started with just me. Because I learned about, like, Superman and stuff from, like, cartoons and movies and such. Like, one of the first toys I remember having as a little kid was a Superman action figure. And I remember watching the animated series on TV as a kid, and catching the Superman the movie on TV a few times, and not to forget the George Reeves show and the Fleischer shorts. So I sort of fell in love with the character through that stuff. And then one day, when I was around, like, 10 or 11, maybe 12, I kind of realized that, Superman comes, like, before he was in any TV shows or movies or cartoons or anything, he was a comic book character. And I hadn't really read any comic, like, much comic books. I read, like, newspaper comic strips, and that was about it. Because, I grew up in the early 2000s, so comics weren't really as much of a, everybody's reading them thing as they were, in previous decades. So I just decided I wanted to learn more about what comic books are like and what Superman comics are like and such. So I started reading about comics on, like, the internet. So I just knew about this stuff before I actually read any comics. And finally, I started getting my hands on some comics. Like, and the first comics I read were, like the Johnny DC imprint that
Nice.
he was doing. Like, they were, like, for kids, so, like, Super Friends and Tiny Titans and the Batman the Brave and the Bold comic book,
Right, yeah.
basically. And that stuff's how I really got into, like comic books as and like I started getting, like I got a collection of old Silver Age Superman stuff, like the Showcase Presents books that were, like, a bunch of comics that were just, they took out the color so they could sell a bunch for kind of cheapish. I think it was like so I got through I got into Silver Age books like through that, and then eventually in my like I finally found a comic book store in my area when I was like 18, and so I got into like the Rebirth Superman stuff, and I've been reading
It's a great run.
I've been reading monthly Superman comics ever since,
Nice.
and you know, other stuff on the side, but mainly my bread and butter has been Superman and Action Comics.
Yeah, I mean, in the best of times, two of the best series, hopefully on shelves, and one of the best superheroes, then it obviously has its dips, and everyone has their mixed comments about the Bendis era, but including myself, but in general, yeah, it's, I mean, well, what a place to start with then.
It's been a bit of a ride,
Yeah,
but
and it's fun to, because not to go too into it to get off on too much of a tangent, but it's like when you're saying about encountering Superman in other mediums and then going like back to the comics. Like when I heard about the Flash TV show on the CW first when it was like one or two seasons in, and then I started watching that, and then it was my mum that suggested asking for some like Flash comics that Christmas, and then that was new for the two volume one, and it obviously just sort of snowballed from there. So it is always cool to hear how these adaptions and presentations and other mediums can lead us back into the comics sometimes for the first time.
Because you want to see the real stuff, you know?
Yeah.
That's at least how I felt when I first got into it.
So yeah, so to get straight into JLA Avengers, how did you read this? Because I know there was the Hero Initiative paperback that was limited to like 7,000 copies almost a year ago as of recording.
I actually got this a little bit before all that happened. Like I believe Perez was still alive when I got my hands on it.
Right.
It just sort of like because I work at a comic book store, and so one day I came to work, and this was just on like the table, like as like a recent sort of acquisition. Like my boss had recently gotten his hands on this to sell, and I was like, how much are you selling this for? Because you know, I'm of course still a collector even if I work there, and so I forget how much he gave. Like he actually gave it to me for a pretty good price. Considering so I got it, so that's so I got it, just and like my copy doesn't have like I'm pretty sure it must have come with a cover, like a like one of those, because it's I got it in graphic novel form, like big thick book. I'm not sure how what size the newest print is, the Heroes Initiative print, but mine says collector's edition, excuse me, and it's like a big thick thing with a hard cover.
Oh,
Good sturdy book,
yeah, I
and it just
think.
makes these Perez pages so much better to look at because it's just huge, you know. Sorry if I'm
Yeah,
rambling.
no, yeah. On the league is listed as there's a collector's edition hardcover from 2004 listed on there.
I
I don't
think
know if that's what.
that
Nice. Yeah, I remember personally it
might be what
was announced. Oh, I can't remember now. Mid-April, not mid-April. When I say mid-April, mid-February.
I have.
I was thinking February, and I still said April. And I just like, emailed my store back home, not the one where, near where I am at uni, but back home. I thought they'd be like big enough to be allocated some copies, but not so big that I wouldn't be able to get one. And then because I emailed so early, I was literally the first one to email, so that they were like, as long as we get at least one, it's yours, because you just asked so early. So I'm very grateful that they were able to sort that out for me.
Yeah, lucky break.
Yeah. So do you know, so did you say that you even though you didn't actually pick up this specific edition, you managed to sort of read it around this time last year, was it? Because you said it was close to.
I think I got a little bit before that. Like I'm pretty sure Perez was still like Perez hadn't passed yet.
Yeah, because that's what you
So
said.
it's been a little bit.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit since I read it. I think it may have been a year before.
Okay.
So I will say I did read it like yesterday, and well, I started the day before yesterday and I finished it yesterday in preparation for this. So I'm not going in with cobwebs in my memories.
Right, yeah. So what was your first reaction to the sort of like initial thoughts? Then we can go a bit more deeper into it, because there's a lot to cover. There's a lot of meat here, I feel.
My first thoughts, well, there are comic books are full of story premises and ideas and just titles alone that you want to be something. You want you hear that premise or that title and you think this is the coolest thing in the world. I can imagine what this is. And then you read it and it's even if it's not bad, it's not what you were hoping for or imagining in your head. It's somewhat disappointing. JLA Avengers is not that. JLA Avengers maybe isn't always everything you expect, but it's I think it's everything you could want out of a book, at least from this time. Like if I can imagine someone being disappointed by something not being in here, it's because it couldn't possibly have been in here the year it
Right.
came out, you know?
Yeah.
Like if someone's disappointed that Miles Morales doesn't show up, you know, I suppose I can understand that, but he couldn't have possibly, you know? You know what I mean? Like there's
Yeah.
nothing
Yeah.
they could have missed that they did, in my
Yeah.
opinion.
Yeah. You almost had me there. I was like, wow. And then I was like, oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always think if the Marvel and DC crossovers had, either still been going on into the 2000s or had like started later or if, like, say, like, Young Avengers and the Young Justice teams were A, around at the same time and around the right time of the crossovers, I thought like that could have been a really fun crossover because they feel like very like similar like energies, and especially when you went that like they both have speedsters with like Tommy Speed and Bart Impulse and etc.
But as is, this is kind of everything you could hope for out of a crossover from the time.
Yeah, I mean, in my review on the league. I started by saying it's an epic blockbuster comic event if I've ever seen one, and a thrilling, beautiful love letter not only to Marvel and DC as a whole, but also Kurt Busiek and George Perez's love for these wonderful superheroes. So I wanted to
Yes.
try and get it all into one like sentence and sum up my thoughts on it before I went further into it, and I think that definitely encapsulates a lot of the sentiment around it.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, did you ask me something
No.
I didn't catch? Sorry.
No, I was just thinking, yeah, because at the end of the day, it is just really fun, especially when you get to the, I suppose, without spoiling too much, just, I know it's been out for a while, but when it all gets to the point when at various points there you're fighting, or then when they're sort of like more like working together, and I felt like as
Sorry,
a
Mark.
story, it had a really nice balance of there was lots of fan service, of course,
Definitely.
but it didn't ever feel at the like deficit. It didn't ever feel like it was just fan service. It felt like the fan service was there like, in addition to the main story and to enrich the main story. Yeah, but there was
Agreed.
some like solid substance and story there to go off.
Agreed. Like I will also say like it like on the topic of like fan service and such, I do appreciate that it stays true to being a Justice League Avengers crossover, not just a DC Universe Marvel Universe crossover. Like it stays keeps the focus on the League and the Avengers. Like characters who aren't part of those teams necessarily show up, but they don't like it's surprising to me how little Spider-Man is in this. And I'm not necessarily saying that's a great thing because it's not like I don't dislike Spider-Man, of course, but I do think it shows a good level of restraint because he at this time he was not an Avenger, you know? So it wouldn't have made sense to make him like a huge focus. But he does, he does show up, he does have his moments. So I do think that's an interesting sign of restraint.
Yeah, and I feel like these, well, I was going to say these events, but sort of like comics in general. And when you're going to like read like a specific run, then it's not necessarily more noticeable, but it's more sort of if I'm like going to read like this 2005 run of so and so, then it's like the those like that like era is sort of like baked into the story because it's sort of they're like an Avengers, like then that's where it started. Whereas if you're reading something where like JLA Avengers, like an event, then like the status quos haven't been formed in that book, but they're sort of like established outside and then going into it, and it provides like an interesting snapshot of what the status quos were at the time. Like Carl is still like Green Lantern because Hal isn't back yet, and lots of things like that. Which I don't know if you had any thoughts about that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm not really sure if there's anything. Yeah, I think you kind of just said it right there. You know, it is
Yeah.
interesting to see the sort of snapshots of history, the sort of like I, you know, they're like and like they do find a way to like not to give it away. Like they do find a way to like include the various Green Lanterns and Flashes at they existed at the point in the story, kind of. I mean, maybe just two of them, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I suppose it was just sort of a brief extension on your point about
Yeah.
Spider-Man and the restraint.
Right. Yeah. I apologize. I may have zoned out for a second because I was looking at the art, the comic itself.
No, it's fine. What do you think about the length of the issues? Because I thought it was quite cool how each, because there's only four issues, which doesn't
Yeah.
necessarily always sound like a lot, but I felt like as I was reading the trade, it took me like a decent amount of time to get through because each one is sort of oversized. So it's, as I said at the beginning, it's sort of quite a decent and meaty read.
Yeah, like it's sort of hard to keep it's sort of hard to remember even that it happened in like individual issues, you know, when you're reading it in a trade. But you know, they do still like have the sort of the covers in between to like remind you to like sort of tell you like, okay, so the issue ended here and it starts again here. But it's easy to forget that and think and just think like, oh, here's some pretty George Perez art to stare at for 5 minutes before you go back to reading the story. But yeah, it is they these are very meaty individual issues, you know, very big, full, which is funny because it's sort of funny because same with Superman Space Age, which I've of course been reading over a lot lately to talk about it. So I'm now I've gotten it's like I've gotten used to extra-sized issues of comics. But like to honestly to me it makes perfect sense that you know the individual issues would be extra long because you gotta fit a lot into a Justice League Avengers crossover, you know? Like, there's a lot you're gonna wanna do and wanna see. So it only makes sense, to me.
So do you think the pacing was good in that sense and how it progressed?
Yeah. I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you touched on Prez's artwork, like the late Prez, rest in peace. But I think if you haven't seen any of the covers for this series or these four issues, just like look them up now if you can. Because I sort of mentioned this in my review where it's like the covers to like one and four are great, especially four, I love four. And then two has like a nice like dramatic atmosphere to it when they're all fighting. But then like three, the cover to three is insane. Like especially when if you see like the full thing, the full like wraparound, just how many characters are on that. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, I think I know which one you're talking about now. Like it's a testament to like Perez's like skill as an artist that like he can draw this massive crowd of characters and you if you look if you get up right up close to it you can see every character this and they're distinct and they're detailed and you know who's who like you know if you know who's who you know who's who you know like everyone is just like no matter how small they are he puts in the detail he puts in the recognize you know you're not gonna confuse anyone like if you know every character you're gonna recognize them you know of course it is hard to know every character because they pull out some like real obscure ones and especially if you're like me and you're more familiar with DC than you are with Marvel a lot of these people just look like you know weirdos but and like I don't know if yours has this if the Heroes Initiative collection has this, I imagine it might if it has the covers. But mine actually has a character key in the very back,
Yes.
that like actually shows you who each character on this on that cover is. Like, there's a number on each character, and then you go to the character key and you can read
Yeah.
who everyone is, and that's extremely helpful and it's extremely fun and it makes it the kind of thing you can just like. It almost makes me wish it was like a who's who in the DC universe kind of thing where like every character has a little biography so you could just like find out all these weirdos but you know we have Google so we could just look them up if you really want to know who that crystal looking guy between Sue Storm and Hellcat is you know
Yeah, nowadays we do, which is
yeah
nice.
indeed
Does the collected edition hardcover have lots of extras in the back at all, or? Because I know
it just
the Her Initiative edition does.
For me, it just has the big picture of all the characters and the character key. Not much. It has, you know, it has the list of contributors, but you know, that's just the credits basically. And at the start, it does have like a little introduction from, well, it actually has two introductions. My copy has two introductions at the start, one from Stan Lee and one from, I think, yeah, I want to say Julius Schwartz. I'm trying to get to it. One from Julius Schwartz, one from Stan
Right,
Lee.
yeah.
And also it has little biographies for the characters, like the main roster of Leaguers and Avengers we see. It's your kind of just your boilerplate, you know, born on the planet Krypton, in the dark days of World War II, you know, your basic descriptions of all these characters, you know, nothing too terribly interesting, but you know, nice enough.
I can't remember the specifics off the top of my head, but it was, I don't have it to hand, but it was interesting reading through the, because like the book was long enough, but reading through the extras at the back, because some people may know there was, has been sort of various like crossovers between Marvel and DC in the here and there in the sort of like the couple of decades leading up to this book of like Spider-Man and Superman, and then X-Men, and was it Teen Titans in like the 80s, and then of course like the like Marvel versus DC and all of like the amalgam stuff in the 90s. So then they talk a bit about in the back how there were originally plans to do this in like the 80s or 90s, I think it was, and then there was lots of drama that led to it not happening, and lots of like drama there that sort of spilled out into their like respective, like I think like in one of the Marvel Age issues, there was like a magazine, I guess, telling people about the Marvel comics and in issues that and sort of like talking about each other and like talking about some of like the behind the scenes, and it was quite cool to see that like contemporary well, you know, not sound pretentious, but I don't know if journalism is the right word or whatever you would call it.
I think that's accurate. That's the right word for it.
Yeah, right, yeah. And just sort of seeing like how much it takes for something like this to like come together, because I think it was one of the, it must have been one of the last, if not the last Marvel and DC crossover. We haven't
Oh
seen
yeah.
one since then, to my knowledge, I don't think.
Yes, I'm certain, fairly certain that is correct. At least to
Yeah.
this extent. It's at least the last time we got a full book of all the characters meeting each other. Like perhaps there's like somewhere some like tiny obscure thing of like Spider-Man and Batman being seen together as like some sort of commercial or something. But this is the last big comic book where all the characters actually meet each other and it's acknowledged that they should not be, you know, together. And it may be the last one ever, who knows at this point.
Yeah, and
But
it might be a while before this episode goes live. So, if in the interim if something gets announced, then I guess this
there'll be egg on my face.
we'll see what happens.
I'd take it. I'd take that
Yeah,
embarrassment. I'd be happy
be
to be
worth
wrong
it.
about that. I would not be mad at all to being correct.
Something I enjoyed about the series, and something that you started to highlight, was about how it spotlighted some of the differences between the both like universes that I'd always thought about, but it's a put in perspective, where Marvel has a very, and again this is, it's quite useful pulling from my review to think about points I want to cover here, but how Marvel is at the world outside your window and not necessarily realistic, but they at least early on tried to be more like grounded and have it all in New York with everything Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko and John Romita Sr. and all of them that were working on it. And it's something interesting I've seen, I saw mentioned recently on the League about how that was more of like a deliberate universe, whereas DC was just a like collection of titles that were brought together. And
A little
but
bit of
then in some ways,
incompetence. But
in some
sorry to interrupt.
ways, I hear like the old adage, Marvel is humans wanting to be gods and DC is gods trying to be humans, where that seems like an overgeneralization a bit, but as an idea, it's something to consider and something that I think gets highlighted here.
There's a note of truth in that, yeah.
Because there's a scene early on that I won't spoil, but it was one of those like early on, like, oh, aha moments, because like New York is real, but there's, I always enjoy the like aspirational aspect of how like the fictional the cities in DC are fictional. There's something that adds to the like escapism and makes it a bit more exciting for me.
I get you. It's That honestly, that kind of to me, that kind of thing is how you know that Kurt Busiek is a nerd like us, like a kind of person who thinks about like the geography of the DC and Marvel universes and makes that a plot point. Like they go from like there's a part where the Justice League's in Metropolis and they find a way to get to the Marvel universe, and when they get there, it's just an empty field. Because no one built Metropolis in the Marvel universe, and they talk about that for a second. And it's probably like they probably could have talked more about it if certain other even nerdier writers wrote it, but some would just like, not think about that at all. Some would be like, that's not interesting. But to Kurt Busiek knows what audience he's writing for. And I'm in it.
Yeah, I suppose that speaks to the interesting point I made earlier, where there is that fan service, and it's a nice balance between like including it and referencing it and nodding to it, but it's like equally satisfying, but then it doesn't like take over the story, and even like the story itself and how they're brought together doesn't feel cheap. It's just sort of like comic book mumbo jumbo in some senses, like cosmic shenanigans, but it's very entertaining.
Yeah, agreed.
Did you in this book have any if you're like looking through it or just from memory, and if you read it recently, you have any character interactions without
I've
spoiling
actually
too
got it in
much
my
that
lap
you
right
were
now.
without sort of spoiling too much of the plot that you thought were cool?
Well, I'm bringing this up because it is kind of it's the one I just happened to be looking at when you asked that, but it is one that did make me laugh a little bit, where it's when Wonder Woman and Aquaman run into Hercules and She-Hulk of the Marvel Universe. And if you're aware of Wonder Woman's history with the Hercules of the DC universe, it's like, long story short, DC's version of Hercules is not a good guy. So she immediately like, and he specifically because he sort of not to be too grim about it, but he forced himself on Hippolyta, which is somewhat based in Greek mythology, but it's different, from how it happened in this universe. So when she gets to, so when Wonder Woman sees Hercules, she says, "You are Hercules, then, the spoiler of Hippolyta." And Hercules goes, "I would not use those words myself, but I did have the honor of." And then Wonder Woman just clocks him. And of course, that's because to her, he's this despicable person, but he has like no idea why she's so mad at him, and I don't know. It's funny to me.
Yeah, again, it's just more of those like fun differences between the universes, and the dynamics and differences that get highlighted here, I suppose.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Explaining it I did feel maybe it's not as funny as I thought it was in as I was reading it, but it's at least something. And also, I guess on the topic of character interactions, Batman and Captain America's fight is, of course, awesome. I feel like I'd be remiss to not bring that part up. Especially since it kind of because when people talk about compare like when people make comparisons between the DC heroes and the Marvel heroes, usually the character Cap gets compared to is Superman, which does make sense because they're both kind of the sorry, did you have something to say? Or am I talking
No,
too long?
I was just agreeing with you and thinking, because looking at the cover of the Hero Initiative edition, they are that next to each other.
Yes. But yeah, it makes sense to compare Superman to Captain America because they're both kind of the moral, they're kind of the moral paragons of their universes. They're the, they're the classic capital S, capital H superheroes that everyone kind of looks up to and, thinks as the, they're the ones people look up to. But, and always seem to know the right call to make and such. But Batman is also very, very much a counterpoint to Captain America. Because they're both the non-powered hero of their universe, but it's still nonetheless one of the kind of staples of that universe. Like they are like Batman is also the character people look up to and sort of are one on their side, but kind of more so because he's the ultimate strategist. He's the he always knows how to sort of get out of a situation, the best way to handle something, which is also applicable to Captain America, They're both kind of leaders like that. They're both kind of, and they're masters of martial arts. They're like, he, Cap is as much the Batman of the Marvel Universe as he is the Superman of the Marvel Universe, So their interaction there is great.
Yeah, I think that's a fun point, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was I was trying to make this not spoiler free, but I think I'll just say in the intro that there might be some spoilers here. But it's like the opening to issue one, where the cosmic beings make the both teams fight a villain from the other team, where it's like the I don't know the name of the guy, the thing that the Justice League fights, but it's like the Avengers have to fight Starro, which is more recognizable to me. And I was like, oh, that's fun. That's a nice detail, especially that early on kick off.
Yeah, agree. That's a very fun moment. Just for posterity's sake, Terminus is the name of the
That's it.
robot from the Marvel Universe the Justice League fights. I'm looking at it, so I didn't remember that either. Like I said before, I'm more of a DC guy than a Marvel guy,
Yeah,
so
that's fair.
I couldn't even tell you anything else about Terminus or like who he usually fights or anything like that.
Neither, to be honest. And like there's another great detail where the Flash like travels over to the Marvel Universe, and he sees other people like hating on this mutant, and that's one of the moments where, and then coupled with later on when the I think it's like the Avengers see like the statues of the Justice League and see how much they're like celebrated and heralded, and the Justice League sees how, again, not necessarily realistic, but it's grounded in some ways, especially with the people's reactions to mutants. They are sort of like the differences between them, where the Justice League is sort of feels more aspirational at times, whereas the Avengers is more sort of like grounded. And that's not to say that both teams can't be either of those. The other one, but it does. I don't know. Again, this is something fun that I thought it highlighted.
Like the people of the DC Universe love the Justice League, and the people of the Marvel Universe like frequently hate and distrust the Avengers.
They maybe
So
don't
yeah,
hate them as
it's
much as they
interesting.
hate, let's say, like the mutants, but definitely they don't love them as much as they love the Justice League.
The Avengers are just under more scrutiny because in a perhaps more realistic way than the Justice League are. I think that's kind of the way to put it. Like you're right, it's not that the people hate the Avengers. It's just that if the Avengers screw up, it's, well, then what do we have you around for? But if the Justice League screws up, it's usually like, oh no, I hope they, are okay. Because people just, I don't know, people just like the Justice League. I'm just rambling. I don't know what I'm saying.
No,
My
yeah, I know
point's
what you
been made.
mean.
I'm done.
One thing I thought was interesting that I suddenly noticed, it's more of a smaller thing, not that big a thing, but how on issues 1 and 3 it says JLA Avengers, and then on issues 2 and 4 it says Avengers JLA. That's neat.
I did not notice that, but that is certainly interesting.
I think it's interesting how with something like this, people complain a lot about events these days not necessarily having like impact or stakes. And it's interesting the idea that because this is, well, because they won't necessarily be able to like reference this, so like because this is a special scenario, effectively means that it's sort of out of continuity, so that anything that isn't necessarily that happens here does can't necessarily be referenced. So, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it feels any less sort of dramatic or like epic to what to read, because like there's not necessarily going to be like a lasting impact. It still manages to be like thrilling and really fun, and I thought that was something of note.
Yeah,
Just
it does. It
thinking.
actually does. You raise a very good point there. It actually does manage to make you feel invested in this, even though you know it's not going to have any like effects on any comics going forward, because it just, I don't even know how to put into words why it, but it just grabs you because it's everything. It's, I mean, I guess it you do have to be the kind of fan that will get invested in something like this, even if there aren't any reaching consequences, but. I think it does, like it does do a very good job of that,
Yeah, because and something that I always highlight, that I always enjoy in stories where there are the stakes in the scale feels like very cosmic, or not necessarily even cosmic, but it is in this case just sort of like massive scale and like dramatic, like blockbuster, summer blockbuster feel. But then As I sort of like mentioned earlier, it doesn't feel at the expense, that's the one I was looking for earlier, of the characters. Like it still manages to balance like the focus on them. Like with issue three, that because of the events of the first two issues, when issue three starts, there's a bit of a change that's really fun, and it's something that's caused by like the cosmic effects, but it's sort of showcased the impact on a more character-focused level. Even like larger-than-life heroes, it still feels like personal and cool, easy to connect with.
Definitely. Like it's sort of a, I think that's one of the strengths of Busick as a writer, is that for as much as he's good at coming up with this like big, body superhero adventure stuff, he's also really good at writing personal connections and interactions and, people. Like one of my favorite Kurt Busiek comics is Superman's Secret Identity, which if you haven't heard of it, it's a guy, a normal guy becoming Superman. And it really takes that premise and runs with it. It makes you like care about this guy in a way that's different from how you usually care about Superman, Like, I don't want to turn this into a discussion about that comic since it's a different comic, but like I'm just saying it just shows how good Busiek is at writing people,
Right, yeah, I need to read that book and just some more by Busiek, because I just hear a lot of good things about his writing. I think this is not the only thing I've read written by him.
He's great. I'm a fan. But yeah.
Yeah, and I know someone keeps saying this like over and over, but it's just so fun. If there ever was, I don't know if I've said this explicitly yet. I know I've definitely like talked about it, alluded to it, but if there's ever in like just pure like fun summer blockbuster comic event, then it's definitely this one. It might be a bit harder to obtain and read. I don't know if it's on like I imagine it's maybe not on Comixology or whatever because of rights issues. But
Yeah, I think you're right, unfortunately.
if you somehow can get a hold of it, it is really worth it. And
Yes, seconded.
it's such a like nice tribute. I sort of say this towards my end of my review where. I mean, I haven't read a lot of work with Perez's art. I've read Crisis on Infinite Earths a few years ago. That was first, and I haven't been reading comics for very long. I need to read New Teen Titans with Marv Wolfman. But in terms of like this is a series that even on its own is a again a really nice like time capsule and like showcase for like Perez's art and a tribute to him, especially with the Hero Initiative edition. I know there was. Let me sour a bit with the limited printing, but in terms of that, the idea that at least hopefully there's some more people like me that got it to read it, and less people that got it to flip it or whatever. Because I know that did happen, but I don't know. I can try and be optimistic.
Yeah, I hope so too. But certainly people got it just so they can sell it again. And that's kind of a reality of this hobby, that a lot of people are just scalpers, and that's meh.
So my next question is sort of like a two-part question, and the first one is specifically: are there any pairings from or just sort of characters in general that are featured like specifically at the time in this comic that you would like to see, like you would have liked to have seen more of, and like continued into other comics? And then on it, as a very similar but slightly different note, are there any pairings you would like to say the like present day 2023 versions of meet each other, so including like characters that have been created in the past 2 decades?
Well, let's like I, the first question is a little bit hard to answer because I think, like I said
Yeah.
before, this kind of does everything you want it to do that it could have done at the time,
Yeah,
There's
I mean, it's a good problem to have then.
exactly. But it does make it a little hard to answer your question. I suppose, like this is, again, I'm just sort of paging through it, so, and like just what I saw kind of randomly gave me a kind of an answer. I think it could have been funny to see Reed Richards and Plastic Man meet each other,
That's a good point.
because they're both very they have the exact same power, but they're very different characters, and I could see an interaction with them being pretty amusing. But I know why that didn't happen. That didn't happen because Reed is a mem is the leader of the Fantastic Four. And this is JLA Avengers. And like another thing that I said before that I liked is that it sticks to that being the premise. Like not just being it like not being a Marvel DC crossover whole hog, but being specifically the Justice League meets the Avengers. So they don't spend too much time on the Fantastic, excuse me, pardon me. They don't spend too much time on the Fantastic Four or Spider-Man or the X-Men. They give them their little cameos because that's what, you know, everyone would want, but they don't go too far past it being a JLA Avengers crossover, and that's neat. To answer your second question, that one's hard because there's actually probably a lot I can think of, like characters that didn't exist or weren't as prominent around this time that would be interesting to see meet, like just off the top of my head, it could have been interesting to see like Jason Todd, like Red Hood, meet Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah.
But of course, this is before either of those characters had been brought back. But like
Yeah.
that there is like a nice moment between Captain America and Batman where Captain America sees that Cap, the, excuse me, that Bat's lost a partner. And they kind of have
Oh
like almost
yeah.
in the way two guys who barely know each other can have a moment. And that might almost be better than any meeting between Todd and Bucky could have been, but that's just something that came to mind. It could have been neat to see like I mean per like I really dig John Kent and Damian Wayne, and it could have been neat to see them interact with any of the more young characters of current Marvel, like the Young Avengers or Miles Morales Spider-Man or Kamala Khan Ms. Marvel. That could have been fun. I don't know actually. I'm kind of running out of those are my kind of maybe those are my only answers actually.
No,
But yeah.
I suppose on that note, to expand on my point earlier, if there was they like the champions sort of team with like Miles and Kamala and Nova, Sam, and those sorts of characters, and then like a new like Teen Titans or Young Justice team with like John and Damian and those sorts of characters, and then on the flip side, you have like the now older Young Avengers, especially in like the second run, the Kevin McKelvey run, and then how they meet maybe like the Titans, and so and it yeah, I think there's lots of cool combinations. It was nice to see like you mentioned like Cap and Batman together because they sort of spend a bit of time together, and it almost reminds me when I'm thinking about it, the sort of dynamic between Batman and Superman, like on the surface in terms of how. Again, also on the surface, Batman could be a bit more like dark and broody, whereas Captain America and Superman, I mean, you said it yourself, they're very compared often earlier, where they more like bright or like optimistic. So, and then,
Paragons.
yeah. So I suppose that it is fun how this is going on a bit of a tangent, but
Go ahead.
Chip Zdarsky has talked about before how the example he uses is that if he wrote an issue of Spider-Man and killed off Aunt May, then, like, if he did that in his first issue, then we would already feel something from that. We would already be, like, emotionally, like, attached to that. Whereas if he, like, started a new indie book and killed off the main character in the first issue of that, we wouldn't feel nearly the same thing because we already have, like, an established connection to this, these characters. And it also speaks to, like, the constant music and praise and well-deserved praise throughout this episode where they don't necessarily need to do, I mean, character-wise, they don't need necessarily to do lots of legwork, let's say like Batman and Cap meeting, but they can have that, they have those like moments where they both lost a partner, and that's like readily available to manipulate, gives a bad connotation, but sort of mine, I don't know if it sounds any better, but let's sort of mine that for like emotional weight. And again, so make fan service isn't just it isn't cheap, but it's actually like a nice fun point because like as fans you draw comparisons between the companies and the characters. So if there's any time to like make the characters see those comparisons or like realize them, then it's in a big company crossover event like this.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if I have anything to say to that. I just sorry.
No, it's all good. Oh, who would you think would be a good fit to? I don't know how up-to-date you are with the current like writers and artists of the day, but who do you think would be a good fit if they did do another like company crossover to write and draw the comic? Because it'd be a monumental task, but.
That's a very good question. Maybe I'm just maybe maybe this is me being lazy because this is the name you just brought up, but I do feel like Chip Zdarsky might have something interesting, potentially. He is a guy who's worked for both Marvel and DC. He's just getting started working on DC, but so far I've really enjoyed what he's done. I think he could maybe do more. So he'd be a good contender, I think. Let me see, let me see. Oh, I feel like Mark Waid could probably do something interesting.
Oh yeah, he'd be good.
Also a veteran of both companies. I'm not sure if I off the top of my head can think of any. I mean, if I could just start listing writers I like, but
Yeah, that's true.
I want to say Philip Kennedy Johnson could do it because I'm really loving his Justice League, but maybe not. I don't know. But those guys, I think, like Zdarsky and Waid, I think are good enough answers. For art on art, that's a tougher question, but because there's a lot of good artists going on around lately that I love to see. If I'm still on the train of guys who've worked for both DC and Marvel, I feel like Patrick Gleason could probably do a pretty like could probably make something pretty good looking. Since he was the artist on like he's did a bunch of DC stuff, now he's doing Marvel stuff. He could probably make a pretty great looking comic. If it's Mark Waid, then he could why not have him keep working with Dan Mora. I think he could draw a great DC Marvel crossover. Let's see who else.
Yeah, I mean, so of any of the artists that draw like classically beautiful art comes to mind for me, people like Daniel Semper and Jorge Jimenez, and as you say, Dan Mora. I'm sure there's some like underrated picks of people that would be
Oh,
good
definitely.
that aren't quite coming to mind, but
Yeah,
some of the
definitely.
I think it'd be interesting to see. I don't think we've seen Philip Kennedy Johnson handle. Or do like a big event yet, because I know he's done lots of small things with like Action Comics that, well,
No,
not small, but like big things that like solo series like Action Comics and Alien and
No, he hasn't done any, as to my knowledge, he hasn't done any team books yet, is I believe what you're
yeah,
getting
that's
at.
true, yeah.
I do believe he has he I at very least would have faith if he was announced to be writing Justice League. Cause he did like, if you haven't read the Warworld Saga, which was his first big arc for Justice, I mean, excuse me, for Action Comics, he does like, Superman does assemble a team before
Yeah.
that. And so there's a like he's proven that he can write a team, even now, after that, now that the story's over, like that's the book is about Superman's like family as a team, like it's about Superman and John Superman and Supergirl and Superboy and but like new Superman, like so I do think Kennedy ha like Johnson has it in him to write a team book, so maybe he could, maybe I'm right, maybe he could do this, something like this. Sorry for interrupting.
No, it's all good. It's okay if you can't answer this for Marvel, but if like for DC, if you what kind of like characters on the Justice League would you want to meet like a particular version of the Avengers?
That's a good
Because
question.
yeah, because there is the obvious ones, but then I suppose it's sort of slightly different to my other question from earlier.
I actually I'm not sure if I have an answer to that question. I because like I said, I not like the fact that I'm not as much of an expert on Marvel means I don't have off the top of my head as many comparisons off I think this kind of there's like as a guy who's more of a Marvel fan than a DC fan, there's not much in this there's not much that this doesn't cover that I can think of,
Yeah.
like with my surface level knowledge, like Hawkeye and Green Arrow having their rivalry is kind of maybe one of the first answers that would come to my head, and that's
Oh,
in
yeah.
here. And like Cap and Superman needing to come around to each other is maybe something I'd think of, but that's in here, of course. And Cap and Batman's like quick mutual respect is again another thing that makes perfect sense. And it maybe doesn't happen as much as I feel like it should, but like Aquaman and Thor hanging out, is another idea that would come to head because they're both the big buff blonde guy who's like royalty of some kind.
Right, yeah.
And Thor and Superman, of course, have their big fights, which is another obvious one. So I don't think so. I'm sorry to say I don't think I can answer your question there.
No, it's all good. So it's weird that, and I don't know if you felt the same, but it's slightly hard to talk about for an extended time as a comic, because there's so much that goes on, and so much
Yeah.
as I said a couple of times, it's quite like a meaty, decent comic, but it's also equally very like it does what it says on the tin. Like it's pretty not surface level, but it's well, I don't know. I was gonna say it's what it seems on the surface, but I suppose it's the definition of surface level, but
Yeah.
not again, not in a bad way. It's just
It's exactly what you asked for. You know, it's exactly what you
yeah,
want.
again, yeah.
So, and which is a good thing to me, I think. Like it could have tried to surprise us, but like it just kind of when it's something this hard to miss, you know, you might as well give the people what they asked for. And they did not miss. They hit it right on the target, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Apart from you talked before we wrap up, you talked a bit at the beginning about your love for Superman. Are there any other? Again, it's okay if you can't answer this, but are there any other DC characters that you still like really got into that you enjoy, or is it mainly Superman still at the moment?
Well, I do love Batman. Like, I mean, I love the DC universe as a whole, honestly. Like, I'm a
Yeah.
little bit into all of it. You know, I've read a lot of like scattered amounts of everything, but like, you know, Superman's of course the one I've really got my sub-submerged in. But I'm familiar with all the characters. I love all of them. I could talk about most of them for a bit. Like, but Batman's kind of my number two, you know? Like, Batman, I've read a ton of maybe not as much as Superman certainly, and maybe like not as much as I'd want to have yet. You know, I got a lot to read still. I've only like I'm reading Zdarsky's Batman, and it's actually the first
Oh,
time I'm
yeah.
reading a regular monthly Batman book. Like every issue, which is so I need to go back and catch up on a lot of it, and I have caught up on a good amount, but and I've read like a lot of the classics, I think, by now. But so Batman I like a lot. Like I love all of them pretty much. But Batman, Superman are kind of my number one and two.
Yeah. I tend to find that I'm, as you say about like your love for the DC universe in general, where I'm more invested in the DC universe as a whole, but there are like still lots of characters that sort of like lure me back to Marvel and make me where I might be more likely to read a DC event than a Marvel event, but.
I see.
But like if I'm enjoying it, I'm still going to have say like Spider-Man and Thor and those sorts of things like on my pull list. But as a whole, like the then just as I so mentioned earlier, there's just something about the DC universe, and I still consider myself quite balanced in terms of preferences compared to some people, and that's just you know to each their own what people prefer. But I don't know. Yeah, on the one hand, as long as it's good, then it's always fun to check it out. Almost sometimes, especially if it's a character I don't have much experience with, because then it's sort of new and exciting. But yeah, I don't know, because I don't feel particularly interested in reading, say, like an Iron Man or a Cap or a Thor comic. Well, like if I there are some runs of theirs recently that I hear are good, like Jason Aaron Thor, and like Cap's supposed to be very good at the moment, and the recently concluded, well, last year maybe the Campbell Iron Man, so those sorts of things I might go back and like check them out, but otherwise I don't have a specific desire to read any of those characters in the comics, for example.
I will, sorry to interrupt, but I will
No, it's
admit,
okay.
okay, I will admit that I would read more comics and more characters if I had the money, but
Right,
I'm a little
yeah.
bit in between jobs at the moment, so maybe someday I'll broaden my horizons a little bit, but for now I only stick to what I'm like really really interested in, you know. Like someday I might start experimenting more and dipping my toe in more things, but right now I only really jump on board when it's something I really think I'm gonna like. But I would like to read more comics if I could. But that's all I'm gonna say
Yeah, I
about that.
suppose I suppose that's always a problem, the eternal problem. But so I know, good luck with all of that, and then hopefully
Thank you.
you can, yeah, as you say, get some more awesome comics eventually.
Indeed.
Just yeah, racking my brain to see if there's anything else that I want to say.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't know if I have anything else to say. I don't know about you.
Yeah. Well, actually, I have a couple of highlights I was hoping I could get to, if I can
Oh
just
yes, sure.
go through
Of
some of my
course, yeah.
like yeah, point out some of my favorite moments that maybe aren't like huge parts, but I want to say real quick, I really like the part where the Justice League gets to the Marvel Universe and they kind of look around and they keep seeing all this like horrible stuff like Latveria and Genosha, and they see the
Yeah.
Hulk rampaging through Michigan, and like they keep wanting to like do Justice League stuff and like fix these problems, and Batman keeps having to say, no, we can't interfere, we can't, just observe, no interacting or interfering. And then he and Plastic Man see the Punisher gunning down drug dealers, and like he just has to do something, like he has to stop them, because he's Batman. It's actually like it's simultaneously like a funny moment to me, but also like a well, hell yeah, Batman moment, because like I mean I suppose you could it you might argue, oh, the Punisher's doing the right thing by shooting these drug dealers, but to Batman, this is a man with guns shooting unarmed people, and that's not right. And you could also argue that he's being a hypocrite because he's stopping, also arguably, it's more important, like, it'd probably be more pressing for Superman to stop the Hulk rampaging in Michigan, or for Green Lantern and Aquaman to stop to, overthrow Dr. Doom, than for Batman to stop the Punisher from from shooting drug dealers. But he just can't help himself because he's Batman. It's like, have you read To Kill a Legend?
No,
Yeah. Do you know about it at least?
maybe vaguely.
For the listeners who don't know, and to refresh your memory,
Oh, I see. Just looked
To
it
Kill a
up.
Legend. What you're looking up?
Yeah, but so yeah, explain it anyway for
I'll
people
explain it.
that
Yeah, sorry.
and for me.
To Kill a Legend was a one-off, sort of in the I want to say late 70s, maybe early 80s. I don't know what comic it's in, but it's a Batman story. The writer's onto my tongue, but anyway, if you see it, you can tell. But it was a story about Batman. Like it starts. It's almost the anniversary of the night Thomas and Martha Wayne were killed, and so the and the Phantom Stranger shows up and tells Bat like he basically I sorry I, to explain it quickly. The Phantom Stranger sends Batman and Robin to a world where the Waynes are about to be murdered, and Batman has to sort of decide for himself whether he lets it happen, and ensures that this universe has a Batman at some point, or if he stops it. And ultimately, he just decides he can't let innocent people die, like no matter what the consequences may be, and he saves the day. And it turns out okay because the kid isn't this Bruce Wayne is inspired to be Batman. Not because his parents died in front of him, but because they almost died, and a heroic figure saved them just in the nick of time, and he wanted to be like that guy, so he becomes Batman anyway.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's interesting. That's always those fun storylines
Yeah.
that there's like what if they're very like simple but effective what ifs when it's literally just like what if the Waynes weren't murdered or that sort of thing. And it sort of
Yeah.
speaks to what when you said about the Justice League arriving in the Marvel Universe, what I said earlier about the similar thing where they see like how well yeah when they see like that barrier and they're like what the hell is this? And then the Avengers have like an equal reaction to something from the DC universe.
Oh, and also another highlight I wanted to get to, I do like the part in the like how in the like the last battle at the end, they keep like time keeps switching around and like turning them into different eras of the characters and versions, and it just like it's like all the fan service just dumped in at the end. Just fun little like all of a sudden you get Electric Blue Superman or Mullet Superman, or like Hal's hair goes gray and then goes back to all brown, and Batman gets the yellow oval on his suit, and like the shield, like Captain America's shield goes from the classic circular shield to the original like bad shaped shield, and like for a minute it becomes the hologram shield from the 90s. And we just get all these different like they it's almost like they were like, crap, we ran out of time for Easter eggs, let's just dump them all at the end. And that's fun, very fun to me.
Yeah, I mean, like on the League of Comic Geeks website, you get contribution points when you add stuff to the database because it's a user-maintained database. So there's so many characters listed on the character page for the Hero Initiative trade paperbacks. So someone must have earned like a whole ton of points when adding all of those. Yeah, it is really cool. Yeah, thank you for coming on. I hope you enjoyed and. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, of course. Well, I might have to do this again sometime about one of the other couple of comics you were interested in, if you were up for that.
Yeah, okay. I'll see if when I'm available.
Yeah, no rush. We can sort that out. But yeah, just have a nice rest of your day.
Yeah, you too, man. Bye-bye.
Right. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for on this episode. I want to thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review the show 5 stars wherever you're listening. I would really appreciate it. If you want to keep up to date on new episodes, please subscribe. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, you can email the show at joetalkscomics@gmail.com. Additionally, if you need any back issues, ratio variants, core variants, or just anything in general, cool stuff to do with comics, you can check out the website for Beeders Thingamajiggets, the comic book store in Fort Collins, Colorado, that my TV's comics worked at, and use JoeLovesComics at checkout to get 15% off. I don't get any money for that, it's just a cool thing for you to use if you want to, yeah, check out their site and if you see anything that you like. You can find the podcast on Twitter at JoeTalksComics, and finally, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JoeLovesComics, where we can continue talking comics. That's all for now, and hope to see you next time. Bye!